I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
I should also remind you that after the service, there will be a wonderful celebration and parade, the Gay Pride Parade, and several of us will be joining others in Burlington for that march. So if you wish to join us, we'll be starting at 12:30 on the corners of King and Church Street. And it's probably best to arrive about 12 o'clock or 11:30 because you may find it hard to park afterwards. The story is told of a mother who called her daughter, and her grandson, Jimmy, answered the phone, whispering. "Hello?" "Hi, Jimmy," she said. "Is your mom home?" "Yes," still whispering, he said. "But she's busy right now." "Okay," she said. "Can I speak to your dad?" "He's pretty busy too, Grandma." Hearing noise in the background, she then asked, "Who else is there?" He paused, then answered, again whispering, "The police." Now upset and worried, she asked, "Jimmy, what's going on?" Pausing again, he answered, "They're looking for me." "I'm only hiding, but I guess they think I'm lost." Brothers and sisters, in our worship and communal life together, we need to acknowledge and respect the fact that many people, for various unpleasant reasons, are hiding from the church. And if they build up their courage to attend worship, if they attend worship, it's usually to see if anything has changed since their last encounter, and would prefer not to be noticed. For this reason, churches have refrained from asking visitors to publicly introduce themselves and instead request that they complete a welcome card or a visitor's card by which they can make their presence known in more subtle ways. These are the sort of individuals who consider themselves spiritual but not religious, meaning they're turned off to any organized practice of worship. And if they worship at all, would prefer to do so in their own way and in their own time. Because they keep a low profile, they might also appreciate Jesus' instructions that when you do any good deed, do not do so for the sake of being noticed or praised, since God alone should be the object of our praise. "Let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing," Jesus said, "so that God, who sees in secret, will reward your act of humility." This is also the reason why Jesus prefers private over public prayer. Away from the gaze of public opinion, we are free to pray without inhibition the joys and concerns of our hearts. "When you pray," Jesus said, "go to your room, shut the door, so that God, who sees in secret, will reward your prayerful petitions." Still,
we make room for public prayer and public worship to let others know that they are not alone and that their joys and their concerns are shared by those who care for and love them. So while there is much to be commended in acts of good deeds and prayer, Jesus, by example, also acknowledged the need for public witness. Public witness in professing and demonstrating before others our identity and devotion to the way and to the will of God. Jesus said that those who acknowledged him before others, he would acknowledge before the angels of God. He also said that you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor does one light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket, but on a stand so that all can see. All can see. Let your light so shine, he said, so that all who see your good works may give glory to God in heaven. In other words, there comes a time when our desire to go unnoticed must give way to God's desire to be noticed through us. I recall as a youth being deathly afraid of public speaking, preferring to let my words speak for themselves, my written words speak for themselves, until I met my high school English teacher, Eva Weiner, who at age 11 escaped with her family from Nazi Germany, from the Nazi invasion of her native Czechoslovakia, now the Czech Republic. They fled to Great Britain and then to the United States, where she was further educated and went on to become a high school English teacher and coach of an award-winning speech and debate team. She drew me out of my shyness, convincing me that the written word I hid behind would be more effective if listeners personally knew the person and the heart that conveyed those words. Eva also believed that every child should be fortunate to have a Jewish mother. And she officially designated herself as mine. She was in many ways like a second mother, in whom I confided on nearly everything. And when I felt called to explore studies leading to ordained Christian ministry, my official Jewish mother was one of the first whose blessings I sought and cherished most. Her blessing came in the words of spiritual advice that I treasure to this day. She said, "Lead with your heart, and the rest will follow." There comes a time when our desire to go unnoticed must give way to God's desire to be known through us, when our hearts must give way to the heart of God. We become increasingly aware that notoriety is not as pleasant as we once imagined, for it makes us the attention and target of both positive and deviant kinds of behavior. It adds more responsibilities to our already busy lives that we wish not to assume. "Keep your head down, and maybe they'll go away," is the wish of those who prefer to remain hidden and noticed. Yet God seems to prefer such people. Moses used every excuse he could muster to avoid returning to Egypt as God desired. When God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, the capital city of his enemies, that they might know the way of God, we are told that Jonah ran in the opposite direction. And who would have imagined that a quiet woman of Samaria, a region that Jews despised, would become an outspoken evangel of Jesus after meeting him at a well? We normally associate the parables of Jesus regarding the lost sheep or the lost coin as those spiritually separated and lost from God. But they just might as easily apply to those of us who underestimate our divine potential before God. God searches for them as well, that they might know their full identity and their full capacity as offspring of the Creator, from whom there is no hiding place. And that we might realize that whatever work we do, in consciousness of our full capacity and identity as God's offspring, whatever work we do will always be divinely noticed and celebrated as sacred, sacred work. On this Sunday, when we remember the tragic events surrounding September 11, 2001, I'm also reminded of a philosophical question concerning knowledge and the observation of reality that asks this: if a tree falls in a forest and no one is around to hear it, does it make a sound? One scientific response would be that sound is vibration transmitted to our senses through the ear, and recognized as sound only at our nerve center. The falling of a tree or any other disturbance will produce vibrations in the air, but if there is no ear to hear, then there is no sound. However, the growing scientific awareness of sensitivity among plants to their environment causes speculation about this answer. Add to this the theological response that considers the dimensions of spiritual reality, and this philosophical question assumes sacred proportions. I pose this question reminded of the most poignant September 11th photo of a man falling from the North Tower, whose identity, along with countless other victims, remain unconfirmed. The photo conveys no sound, yet incites the sounds of sadness and rage and loss from all who see it. Still, those who heard and witnessed and experienced the heartfelt loss and the heartfelt heroism of that day, from a spiritual dimension, will faithfully confirm that no life that fell or survived that moment was left unheard, unnoticed, or unmoved by a compassionate God. You are so precious. You are so priceless that God, without inhibition or hesitation, would search for you and celebrate your discovery. But God's search is less an outward venture than it is a journey that begins in your soul, seeking true and sacred self, seeking your potential and your identity, that God may live within and through you. The psalmist says it all. Where can I go from your presence, O God? And where can I flee from your spirit? Search me and know my heart, and lead me to the way everlasting.